This episode of the Locked On Eagles podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I myself love to sit down, get a Pepsi. Today I'll be watching my Oregon Ducks with an ice-cold Pepsi keeping me up late. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi. Made for watching football.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome on in to a special bi-week edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It is Saturday, November 7th. We have 8 days before the Philadelphia Eagles once again take on the New York Giants. This time it will be in Meadowlands Stadium. And frankly, sitting at 3-4-1, this team has a lot of work to do, but the good thing is there are some positives to take out of it. And today we're going to talk and ask, and we're going to ponder some of these questions about where can the Eagles go, and a lot of it comes from you guys reaching out to us in our special mailbag edition of the show today. So we will be answering your questions that you had sent to us on Twitter, and I'm excited to start talking about them because, frankly, this team is in quite an ideal position for two facts of the matter. One, you could start to make a run here and get hot post-bye, especially something that Doug Peterson has done successfully in his career as a coach. And I ran the numbers of this the other day. Doug post-bye week since 2009, when he first became a coach with the Philadelphia Eagles all the way up until 2019, he has a 57-46 record post-bye. And if you eliminate the 2012 season, which we know was that last year of Andy Reid, where that team basically quit, where they went 1-9 post-bye week, he has a 56-37 record after the bye week. So this is a territory where your team is hopefully going to start to get pretty hot and start to get into the swing of things down the stretch, where you have gained steam in seasons prior, especially under Coach Peterson. One of the seasons you have to look at is that Chiefs season where they started, I'm pretty sure they were 1-5, and then they go on and finish season 8-0. So, frankly, actually that math doesn't work out. No, they were 1-5, and then they won two games, and then one went 8-0 after the bye. That's what it was. And this team has done it. They did it last year. They went 4-0 in that run down the stretch in the season before that. They made a nice little run with Nick Foles again, and they got hot in the playoffs and won a Super Bowl in 2017. So 2020 is a little different in terms of where they stand halfway through the season. But in reality, if you look at it from the past few seasons, we've been at this bye week in week 7 and 8, and we're sitting here thinking, okay, we came off of a win when we needed it against Jacksonville, against Buffalo, and now against this win that we come off of Dallas. And frankly, they needed those wins to get the ship in the right direction. And frankly, I think you're on a good path here as long as you can start to get rid of some of those self-inflicted wounds, which 2 weeks off, getting healthy, hopefully you can recover from a lot of those issues and get things moving in the right direction. Or if things do go awry, you're looking at a pretty solid draft pick. So I think this season you're going to do a lot in terms of evaluation. You're going to do a lot in terms of planning for the future, while at the same time, being able to get your guys and go out there and play week to week against some good opponents and see where you really stand in these last few weeks of the season here. Because when you go up against Green Bay and you go up against the Seahawks and you play Arizona and you play the Saints, you're going to see really where you stand in terms of this overall conference. And frankly, much like we were talking about last year, if they don't win that Seattle game and they don't look in that good in that Seattle game, they should pack their bags and not even try to compete. But then they go on a run. So you can really never say die with this team. And that's the thing. The adversity element that we always talk about with Doug Peterson, with Carson Wentz, with the rest of these guys that have been on the team since 2016, that Super Bowl, 2017, the adversity-ridden seasons of 18 and 19, you have leadership going in a pretty good direction. You have the guys in place in this division, especially to make a little run and maybe even host a playoff game. And that's what we're going to discuss as we move into segment 2 and 3. Some more questions that ponder this Philadelphia Eagles team as we move post bye week. We are 8 days away from taking on the New York Giants once again. So come on back in segments 2 and 3 where we will start to talk about some of your mailbag questions and really get things thinking here on this Locked On weekend special here on November 7th. But before we do that, we have a special word from our sponsors over at Built Bar. We are talking Built Go, people. Built Go is one of my favorites. It's what makes you the best at whatever you do. Frankly, I take Built Go anytime I do a podcast. Keeps me sharp and keeps my energy high. And it breaks you through that wall, whether it's mentally or physically. It will break through and get you going every single day. Comes in an easy 1.5 ounce packages. You can carry them in your briefcase and even in wallet sometimes if you have one of those big George Costanza type wallets. Built Go is a workout gel, the best one on the market. It's better than those 5 hour energy ones where you feel that crash feeling. It comes in 3 delicious flavors in peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, which is my personal favorite. So visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED. And you'll get 20% off your next order. That's use promo code LOCKED for 20% off builtgo.com. Let's go. Speaking of let's go, everybody, let's go into this second segment where we will get into this mailbag edition on this November 7th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. The first hard-hitting question comes from our good friend David Collins at DavidCollins55 on Twitter. Do we actually want to win the NFC East? What positions should we focus on pre-draft? Excellent question, David. So, David, a lot of what I talked about in that first segment, talking about, yes, we are able to evaluate a lot of this young talent, which will also allow us to evaluate what we are going to need moving forward. Because I talked about this with Lou on a couple episodes ago, saying that if you have Fulham and Rager as your potential 1 and 2 moving forward, both sitting on rookie contracts, and if you really think Fulham can be the number two, which we both think he can, and a lot of people in that building I'm sure do after seeing his wonderful performance the last few weeks, maybe you're sitting at a luxury at the wide receiver position and you can wait and draft some of these high-end safeties or some maybe even offensive linemen that were to drop in this draft or maybe even one of the great linebackers that's going to be in this class too. But overall, I think you still have a long ways to go before we really figure out what we need because there's a lot of guys that are going to come back from injuries as well. There's going to be a lot of moving parts still. But moving to the first part of that question, do we actually want to win the NFC East? I never want to lose the NFC East, frankly. I always want to win it. It's another banner. It's another check mark. It's another one of those stickers to put on your helmet and move a team that has a lot of young players into a competitive mind state and say, okay, yeah, we won the NFC East the last 2 years. That wasn't good enough. Now we got to go win those playoff games. And it's one of those benchmarks. You have to walk before you can run in the NFL, and you can't get too far ahead of yourself. So go out, win your division. You still have plenty of division matchups. Go 3-0 in those games, and you're looking pretty. And I really think you can win that and host a playoff game. And frankly, if one of those teams starts to go down a little bit, you might be sitting in a favorable matchup if you get hot. So I do think that you should win the NFC East, and frankly, we will be talking so much about the draft. I don't even want to get started on that. I'm watching Liberty right now, and there's a bunch of guys that I want to talk about on that team, and we'll get there eventually. But we need to focus on winning the NFC East, so thank you, David, for that. Going to Adam Mancini. Are the Panthers the perfect home for Eagles fans who feel disenfranchised due to the organization's poor decisions? In parentheses, yes. And this is from Adam Mancini, too, on Twitter. Frankly, there are a lot of guys in that Panthers organization that Lou and I love. I was a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan. Me and my best friend who's going to be in my wedding used to call him the truth after his performance against Florida in college. And I love Jeremy Chinn. I love Brian Burns. Robbie Anderson, you know, from the show, we loved him forever. Yeah, it's an interesting team to watch. I just like evaluating guys and seeing how they fit into systems. And a lot of guys in that Panthers organization fit well in there. But if you're looking to root for a team outside of the conference, I always like to root for a team like the Miami Dolphins because I'm here in Buffalo. There's a lot of Buffalo Bills fans, and frankly, I'm not too fond of them. But I root for the Miami Dolphins, and it seems like they have a pretty good squad this year. A team that has some former Philadelphia Eagles. Eric Rowe is playing high-quality ball out there. You have our good friend Camus Grugier-Hill, one of the hyphen boys that they have there with Kyle Van Noy. And frankly, it's another fun team to look at. And I just love watching good football players play football. And frankly, those two teams are always fun to watch. I've caught myself watching a lot of the Chargers. I think they have a lot of good young players on that team as well. But this is an Eagles podcast, and we're going to focus on them moving forward. But great question, Adam. Thank you so much for that. We turn to Brian at the BradGuy90. Do you think the Eagles maybe aren't running the ball as much because they're trying so hard to get Wentz into a rhythm and try to lessen the turnovers? Good question. I think you should want to run the ball more once Miles Sanders comes back. I think you were put in a tricky predicament the last couple weeks with Miles being out, and you kind of saw the performances that Carson had in those two games without Miles, where you can kind of rely on that guy. Even as fair as Boston Scott and Corey Clement had played, I don't think you have that 75-yard runner that can break off at any given time and make things happen for himself. And frankly, Wentz is going to take it upon himself and do that. And he's always done that. And I think you need to continue to do that. And moving forward, I think once Miles is back healthy, I think you're going to see a bigger balance. I think you saw it last game. They kind of tried to diminish the amount of throws that Carson Wentz had, especially in the elements. Still think he threw a little bit too much, but moving forward, you definitely need to get Miles involved more. I think you could get Jalen Hurts involved more in the running game. I think you can use Carson's legs more in the running game, and you need to do that and give him confidence, because you see how happy he is when he's going out there and breaking tackles in the run game, and that gives you confidence too, not just those completions, just moving and gaining yards and being a competitor. That's what makes Carson Wentz tick. So I fully agree that they should be trying to run the ball a little more, and frankly, they need to once Miles Sanders comes back, and once they get Zach Ertz healthy and Dallas Goedert and fully, you're able to run out of 12 a little bit more. It'll be good for this team moving forward. So some great questions so far, and we will continue on in segment three of this mailbag edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome on back to wrap up this Saturday, November 7th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host, Gino Camilleri, and we are finishing up here with some mailbag questions. You guys sent some great ones in. We're going to go to probably the most hard-hitting question that we have. This is from Mick McGivern at Mick McGiv on Twitter. Was there enough space for Rose and Jack on the debris at the end of the Titanic? 100%. The math has been done. They both could have fit on it. I think they even could have swum around and found a little piece of debris that Jack could have been on. But that's not good storytelling. But I agree. That's definitely a plot hole. I'm a big plot hole guy, finding silly intricacies in movies where they definitely make us feel a little silly once we're looking at it. Like, yeah, he definitely could have fit on that debris. Leo's not the biggest guy in the world. I mean, he was a skinny kid back then, too. They definitely could have fit. Good question, Mick. I love answering questions like that. Haven't seen the Titanic in quite some time, frankly, because that scene angers me so much, much like these Eagles have the first 8 weeks. And much like Michael McCurdy is right now at Dirty McCurdy 89, he says, how the Hurts pick effing sucks. Little expletive there. What players we could have taken with that pick and what those players are doing now for their teams. It's such an interesting way to think about it, because I look at the Hurts pick and I like what they did the first couple weeks with him, but I don't think they have the right people there to do it with him. I think they need a more innovative play caller. But yeah, man, you're never going to look me in the eye and tell me that Jeremy Chinn was not going to be a better pick than Jalen Hurts. Like, dude, I'm not going to be that dull in the brain to say that. But the 53 or the 53. I'm always going to say that. The 53 of the 53, you have Hurts for four more years. You have to find a way to get him involved in the passing game. He was a nice changeup the couple times he's been involved in that. I think his runs are just stale. I think the play-calling element to his plays are stale. They're putting too much on his shoulders, making him being the only option on a lot of these plays, especially in the goal line. Like, that'll work in college, but in the NFL, you need multiple multiple outlets. And you think back to that fake field goal that the Eagles tried last year against Minnesota where Jake Elliott was going to throw to Dallas Goedert, but Dallas Goedert was the only guy running a route in that entire play. I mean, you're doing that right now with Jalen Hurts when you have these lineups, especially when they ran that one where they only had three linemen, and you're going to make them run an ISO play against two to three guys. It's not going to work in the NFL. So, frankly, they need to change that up. And I do think he can be a valuable weapon, not in a way that Taysom Hill is in New Orleans, because I think Jalen's a much better athlete, much better player, but in a way that can just help Carson and help Doug. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult to get these guys do one of those fake back passes and let Jalen throw it forward. Like, that's an innovative way to get him involved, or get him on those double jet sweeps that we've seen so many times. When both of those guys are on the field, you have to play 11 on 11 football. So believe me, I question the call. I still do question that pick, but you have to get him involved. And what you did the first few times he was on the field was good, but man, oh man, you gotta find a way to get him going. Thank you for that question, Michael. It was definitely a thought-provoking question, something that is going to be very, 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 very questionable moving forward to see how they continue to make that pick work, especially because it was a second-round pick. Moving to our last question here from Grumpy Warrior, Grumpy War 32 on Twitter. Do you think it's time to move on from Jim Schwartz? If so, who are some of the available replacements? That's a very, very interesting question in terms of who are some of the available replacements. I think you should even look to the college ranks. I look to Wisconsin especially. Their defensive coordinator, let me just pull it up real quick. I can't think of their name. Jim Leonard, that's right. Jim Leonard, an excellent defensive coordinator. He's only 38 years old. He's one of the up-and-coming minds in terms of how to deploy that unit. Yes, they do run a 3-4, but, I mean, the Eagles are built for a 4-3 under front. They have guys that can run that. Josh Sweat is a very good 4-3 under edge, where he can play that five-tech position. So I think you look at Leonard, you maybe even look internally at your defensive backs coordinator, Mark Emmanuel, if you think he can essentially do what he should have been able to do in Atlanta. If they let him get that much ability to call the plays, I think he would have done a decent job, because his secondary unit kind of was suspect with the pass rushing there. But I think there are plenty of units outside of Jim Schwartz to utilize your guys in a better way than what he is doing. You're not getting out fully out of this unit what you should be. And it's frankly getting to the point where it's redundant, it's annoying, makes me angry. Bring in somebody that's young, bring in somebody that's innovative. I love the Jim Leonard idea. I'll get ahead of that and be one of the people to say that I continually will want Jim Schwartz's name taken off the door at NovaCare, in a nice way to put it. So thank you guys for all your questions. It's always great interacting with you guys. Feel free to continue to ask us questions on Twitter. We're always talking birds at @Gino_LOE, @DBAssiLOE, @LockedOnBirds, on the Mothership, Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can check us out on LockedOnEagles.com. And guys, 8 more days, and we'll have some more Eagles football. Enjoy the week off. Enjoy this stress-free weekend. Hopefully some of those matchups go in our favor this weekend. See some of those NFC East opponents lose and get us out into a little better lead out here. And man, oh man, is it a good time to be in Philly. So thank you guys for joining me, as always, and fly, Eagles, fly.